Hello and welcome to Red Hawk Rewind, the official podcast of Miami Athletics. I'm Tim Carey.
Hi, and I'm Dave Meyer.
And this is our very first show. Well, we don't know what we're doing. I know a little bit more than Dave, but that's not saying much. And Dave, this was kind of your idea from the get-go, so I'm going to toss it to you and say, why a podcast? Why now? Why did this pop into your head as something that we need on MiamiRedHawks.com and all of the other platforms?
Yeah, so it's funny that you bring this up, that I've had friends for years tell me I'm just like an idea guy. I don't ever know how things are going to get done. I just have these stupid ideas sometimes floating around in my head. And one day we're just sitting around talking, right? And I was like, could we do a podcast? And I looked at you, our producer Will over here. I was like, can we make this happen? And honestly, from there, you guys kind of took a lot of the work from there.
I feel like this is something that you've mentioned. I mean, we're talking about for years on and off that would be like, hey, that would be a cool idea. But I mean, for me, from a storytelling perspective, having the chance to sit down with student athletes or whatever other guests we might have and just kind of interview them, find out how they ended up in Miami, what they've been doing on the field or in the classroom or whatever that is, like, it's cool to hear people's stories, and that's one of the reasons I'm really excited about it.
I hope when people watch this, they're not like, oh, Dave and Tim, here they go. You know, they're doing this podcast. It's not really about us. At least I hope not, right? It is about whoever is sitting in this chair next to us. And, you know, I hope people enjoy it when they leave or they listen to the podcast. I hope it's like, wow, we really learned something today.
And we have a great first guest coming up. But before that, I mean, I want to hear about your weekend because I feel like this has been a pretty eventful weekend for you, like an all-time life weekend.
So this was a tough weekend. I'm about to turn 47 years old. I just dropped my daughter off at Collins Hall. She's a freshman here at Miami. And, okay, I've screwed up plenty of things in my life. Like, we did a really good job with her. We really did. And, man, that was hard to, like, take all her stuff in and then, like, to drive away and just like, all right, I hope everything's good. And now she's 10 minutes away.
I was going to say, some people, that's like across the country or across the world. I mean, just to put in perspective, like, we're talking about 45056 still.
Yeah, I am a softie. I've watched movies, I'll cry. Like, it was hard. It was really, really hard. And I didn't expect that because, I don't know, it was tough. But, man, she's doing great. My wife saw her Sunday morning, so everything's been good. Like, so far, so good. We'll see how classes go on Monday for her.
You and I always talk about we could write a book about the things that happen in our lives and, you know, the life of communications. But Friday was not just move-in day. It was also beginning of game week for Thursday night kickoff. You've got a press conference with Chuck Martin. Like, just kind of give us a little bit of the, like, ins and outs of how you got to all the places and did all the TV interviews too, right?
So it was interesting. So there's traffic everywhere, right? Any of you that are listening, if you were in town, you just didn't leave your house because traffic was terrible. So we found a golf cart in Millette. It's an SID mobile, and we took that around campus to make sure I could get where I needed to. We dropped my, moved my daughter in the morning. We hurried back, so we did a press conference with Coach Martin in the afternoon, ran back, helped her move in some more. But the SID mobile, it would not have been possible without that red, beautiful golf cart.
It's always something, whatever it is, to make it work. Let's go ahead and talk about our special guest coming up here in a second. I mean, hero sports, preseason, All-American, from your group of five. Like, you've been around Silas Walters for a while. Like, what are we about to hear?
Well, we'll find out for sure. But I think it's going to be really fun. Just, he's got an incredible story to tell just of perseverance in life. And I think he has a different perspective on life when it comes to a lot of that, where so much is given to everybody now. And it just has, that wasn't how it was for Silas. And so I hope when you get done listening that you do have a different appreciation for him when he takes the field next Thursday.
Let's bring him in. And welcome back to Red Hawk Rewind. And our special guest today is Silas Walters, a redshirt senior on the football team. And I don't know if you know this or not, this is our very first episode of Red Hawk Rewind. You are the first guest, and I promise you when it's done, you will be the best guest that we've ever had.
I hope so. Yeah, I'm excited to be the first guest of the show. That's pretty cool. So
we're just going to hop right in. What do you prefer, Cy, Silas? I don't want to make the parents upset.
Yeah, either or. My parents call me Cy or Silas, but you can do whatever you want. It doesn't really bother me much.
Perfect. Well, I just want to start talking about camp a little bit. Just your fifth year being here. do you still get excited for camp? How does that all work when you've been doing some of this so many times?
It's different. You know, when you first get to camp, obviously I came as a walk-on, so that's even more of a burden. But when you first get there, you're, you know, trying to earn a spot on the team, and you know, that's really all you're thinking about. You're in a spot where I remember coming in my freshman year, and it was like, wow, this is really cool that I'm doing this, and you know, I'm just a walk-on. I'm so far away from where I need to be and where I want to go. So it was just sort of like a, you got to do everything you can to get on the coach's good side and do everything that they're asking you to do. And then now it's like, you know, it's like you blink your eyes and you're in your fifth year and your fifth camp. And it's like, wow, like the time has flown by fast. And you do kind of think of it a little differently. Like obviously going into this year, I kind of know the expectations the coaches have for me. So rolling into the season, it's kind of like, okay, you know, I know the expectations everyone has for me. I know I, you know, have a spot on this team. I know what my role is going to be, right? I have a role carved out. It's definitely been different, but you focus on things that you normally wouldn't be able to focus on when you're younger. Like when you're younger, you're just focused on learning the playbook, learning the defense, learning the coaches, just learning, just your mind is wide open, right? So now it's like, all right, I've been in this system for 5 years now. I know how things roll. You know, I know the issues that we're going to run into, that we run into every camp, and the coaches get on us every camp about. So, it's different in that aspect for sure. But it's really enjoyable being able to just focus on becoming a better player and focusing on helping those around you become better, because that's what ultimately is going to make a good team. So,
looking at the depth chart, it's kind of interesting because you're listed there two different spots. I don't know if that means only running out 10 out there in defense the first snap or whatever, but safety, nickelback, what are those different roles like for you? What's different from one play to the next, and how do you kind of, you know, even just splitting your time and whatever you need to be for that snap or that series or whatever?
So in our defense, it's really dependent on the types of formation or personnel that the offense comes out in. So since I've been here, my two main positions have been rover and nickel. So rover is more of a free roaming, high hole, deep middle of the field player, if that makes sense. And then the nickel is more closer to the ball, lined up over the slot a lot. You're also lined up over the slot as rover, but as the nickel, you're down pretty much every snap. So we have a lot of different, like, you know, things that we do with our defense where, you know, we might put a bigger body at nickel, you know, to defend against certain types of plays, and then I'll play rover, and then, you know, when we go into passing downs, maybe I'll go down to nickel, but it all changes week by week. I'll take the honor of having two positions on the depth chart. I guess that's a compliment. So
is that new for you this year? I don't remember that being a big thing last year where you were bouncing around a couple different positions.
It's not exactly new. No, I bounced around a little bit last year. I was predominantly, you know, a single position safety, but there were points where I bounced around. So it's not really new. It'll be new the amount that we're probably doing it this year. But as far as like getting the actual reps, no, it's not new.
Kind of talk about your progression. I mean, there's one year you were like the most valuable walk-on on the team. There's one year you were most valuable special teams player, like defensive skill player of the year. I wanted to hit on the special teams thing for a second. I mean, I know that's a big deal at Miami of like some of the best players being used on special teams for whatever it might mean, but you were a finalist for like national special teams player of the year. What does it take to be a great special teams player from Silas Walter's perspective?
Yeah. So first of all, like special teams is where you carve out a role on a football team. Like that's where you start. And the coaches preach that. So when I first got there, in 21, that was like my sole purpose. Like before you get on defense, unless you're like whoever, Ed Reed, you got to play special teams before you can play defense. So that was sort of my thought process. I was like, all right, I got to do everything I can to get on ST, and then from ST I can graduate to defense. So the main special teams coordinator that was here when I was in that whole process was Coach Bernowski, Jacob Bernowski. He was our special teams coordinator. Unbelievable coach. He's at Pitt now. So I would do, I mean, I would go up and meet with him almost every day in his office from the years of 22 and 23 and get down the coaching points he was trying to get me to do. You know, whether that was an assignment or something with technique I could be better at. And the other thing is like buying into it. Like you can know the assignments and you can know the techniques, but you really have to, special teams is a, it's the third phase of a football game. Like it's an important phase. You can win and lose games off special teams. And that's something that at Miami, they do a really good job at, is like getting the whole team to just buy into special teams, fourth down, like dominating special teams. So with that, along with taking coaching, you know, buying in, taking coaching, continuing to develop myself as a player, it ultimately led to me having some success on the field and special teams. So I would say, yeah, if you learn the techniques, you try to apply them as best you can, and you buy into this is important, I'm going to go make a play on this snap. That's what I think helps you become a good special teams player.
It's crazy, like doing what the coach is wanting you to, down to the smallest detail. It's like a little cheat code, but hey, that works out pretty well.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, I feel like a lot of people just kind of look over that, you know. And it's important to take coaching and be coachable and accountable. Yeah, super important.
With all that success you've had on special teams, I mean, actually, it led to a pretty big moment in your life of earning a scholarship. Can you just walk us through that moment, just second by second, just how did that feel?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was an amazing day. I wasn't really expecting it when it happened. I probably should have, looking back. It kind of seems a little obvious now, because Coach Martin, it was the spring game, right? He pulled me out for a coin toss. And at that moment, I probably should have been like, why am I getting pulled out for a coin toss? But I'd been working my butt off, selfishly thought that I deserved a scholarship. And he brought me out and he said, we're going to do a flip. You can either do offense or defense, or whether you want to be on scholarship at Miami. And then I was like, oh my gosh. And then the team rushed me. And
you're supposed to choose defense then, right?
Yeah, right. I think that's what I said to him afterwards. I was like, can I take the ball or something goofy like that? But yeah, it was an incredible moment. You know, coming out of high school, that was like that was another goal that was right there at the top, right? Having that, you know, come to fruition was super cool. And to have my team there to celebrate with me, my family was there too, grandparents, mom, dad, uncle, aunt. So it was really special for them to all see that. And it'll be a special moment for the rest of my life. It was amazing.
So what were some of those goals coming out of high school? Just kind of walk us through how you got to Miami and coming in, what you really hope to accomplish and achieve.
Yeah. So I can kind of go back to like my senior year of high school, I guess, junior, senior year. I was part of the COVID recruiting class. So at the end of my junior year, going into my senior year, everything got shut down, eliminated, like, you know, no recruiting, no camps, no junior days. I actually went on a junior day here, like a couple days before COVID hit and like everything, the initial lockdown started. So it was cool to be able to do that. But after that, that was it. And then we were able to play football, in Ohio, my senior season. It was like peak COVID. It was 2020. No recruiting really shaking out, though. We had a really good high school team. We had a great year. We lost in the state quarterfinals to St. X.
You seem still bitter about that.
I am, yeah. St. X always comes back to get us. It's always the GCL schools that come back to get us. But, yeah, the season was over. I had a couple of FCS looks, non-scholarship FCS looks from the Pioneer League schools like Butler, Valpo. And then I received a preferred walk-on offer to Virginia, and cool opportunity, but super expensive out of state. And honestly, I really wanted Miami to work out for me. I grew up in Cincinnati, so I grew up around Miami, followed Miami, believe it or not. My mom's a Miami alum. And then so fast forward to Christmas morning, actually. Christmas morning at 8 a.m., I get a text. It's like, hey, Coach Martin here. Give me a call when you're, or I'll give you a call when you're ready, or something like that. I was like, oh gosh. So Coach Martin called me Christmas morning, offered me a chance to have a spot on the team. It was a preferred walk-on, and I was like, I was all in. I called him like 10 minutes later, talked to my family. I was like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do, and committed to Miami as a walk-on. So, yeah, always had love for Miami. Like, it's always been a school that's been at the top of my list as far as respect and just what type of school it is. I mean, you see the statues right here. They have a rich football tradition here. So it was really a dream come true to come play for Miami. It's amazing.
I don't know if fans realize like how much work goes into being a walk-on here in Miami. I mean, you're doing everything the scholarship kids are doing as well. Just talk to us a little bit about all of that.
Yeah, it's a long road. I mean, it's I don't think it's for everyone. You know, you're going to have a lot of days where things don't go well, right? You're going to have great days, but you're going to have days where it's like, there's no way I'm getting put on scholarship anytime soon. You know what I mean? And then, yeah, you have all your buddies and, you know, they get all the accommodations and whatnot and you don't, and you're doing the same work as they are on the field. So, it really just comes down to just putting your head down, blocking out, you know, anything that could make you feel discouraged or down on yourself, and just putting your head down and saying, all right, I'm just going to work. I'm just going to control what I can control. You know, I'm just going to do the things that are going to help me climb the ladder for the better. So, yeah, I mean, it was a tough road, but I would say I wouldn't want it any other way. Like, looking back, you know, from where I am now to where I started, I mean, it's such a cool road to go down. You know, it's a lot of perseverance. So I'm really proud of that.
We got to hang out a little bit in July. It was Mac Media Day, Ford Field in Detroit. And kind of curious if there's anything of that really stood out to you. It's a little bit of a whirlwind, but I'm sure a fun experience. And then one of the things that stuck out is I was looking back at the notes from our conversation of, as much as I was trying to get you to talk about your journey and your highs and the different, like, you kept just being like, I'm hungry for more. It's the next thing. And just kind of give me a little synopsis, and for people who weren't there, of your, you know, what makes you tick as far as you're going into 2025 and looking ahead.
Like, as far as my, just always chasing more.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of how I've been. That's just kind of how my mind's wired. So obviously I took the walk on, like, I'm always chasing the next goal. I'm never satisfied with, like, it's satisfying to accomplish what I want to accomplish, but then I just want to do whatever's the next step. And I think that's important if you want to be good in anything. So, it's just kind of been like, all right, I got put on scholarship. That was really cool. Now what can I do? You know, all right, I won ST Player of the Year, whatever. But I didn't play enough, as much defense as I wanted. Like, what more can I do? So I think just kind of having that that sort of ambition is something that kind of makes me who I am and keeps my drive going. So, I mean, going into this season, I obviously have high expectations for myself, high expectations for the team, and I'm going to do everything I can to accomplish that goal. Whether that happens, we'll see, but I'm hoping and I'm thinking that it will.
Was there a moment where you felt like you realized, hey, I think I can play here? Or do you remember your first play on special teams? Just what was that like?
Yeah, I remember being, I remember having success, I would say, starting in spring ball of 2022. Basically, I was on scout special teams during spring ball. I think it was spring ball. And I had like a nice, I don't know, I like had an up and under on a guy and, like, you know, blocked a punt as a scout guy. And I was like, all right, that was cool. Right. Like, I think I can keep doing this. So, and I just kept like trying to get better, as I've been saying, like, all right, let's go up to Coach Bernowski's office and watch that tape and, you know, talk to him, see what I can do better. And we would watch other reps where I didn't do so well. And then as far as a game goes, when I started to take the techniques in 2022 and special teams, when I started taking the techniques that I was learning and applying them in a game and they're working, and I was like, okay, let's just keep doing that. Like, let's keep learning from the coaches. Let's keep applying what they're teaching me. And if you keep doing that, like, you'll continue to be successful. Our coaches are great coaches. Like, they know how to coach their players. You know, they've seen it all. They know what it takes to be successful. So yeah, once I started doing that, it was just, I think, like a snowball effect, and, you know, was able to have a lot of success.
Camp is long. It's finally game week. I don't know if this is a fair question, but what are you most excited about for Thursday night at Wisconsin?
It's going to be a great atmosphere. I'm really excited for that. I'm excited to see how our team responds in this game. Like, I'm excited to see it. We're a pretty new team, right? Like, we got, you know, a bunch of new guys on offense. We got about half the new guys on defense. What's made us good in the past is the ability to respond to negativity. And negativity is going to happen in any college football game, any college football season, any team, right? Bad stuff's going to happen. I'm excited to see how we respond to that. You know, I'm excited to go out and just execute a game plan. Like, it's so fun prepping for teams like this, and you know you're going to go into a great environment, like I said. And, yeah, I'm just super excited to finally get out and play again. Like, you spend the whole year prepping your body and your mind, and you go through winter workouts, spring ball, summer workouts, fall camp, and now it's like, all right, we're here, you know. So it's exciting to get it off on a high note like that, being at Camp Randall under the lights on Thursday. It's going to be really fun.
You can correct me if I'm wrong here, but you just have a different perspective, I think, on football than a lot of just the culture has changed around football, right? Where Tim asked you about what you're excited about, and all you talked about is the team, right? Like, where does that come from?
I mean, I just value the camaraderie. I don't know. That's just kind of how I think of it. Like, football is a team sport, right? I mean, yeah, you want to have your individual achievements, and that'll be awesome if I get those. You know, I hope I do get those. But yeah, I just value, like, football is so different from other sports because it's like a brotherhood. You know, like, you're working so hard with these same guys all year, and you want nothing more than to go out with these guys that you've built this relationship with and go to war, you know, and battle other guys. So yeah, I mean, it's just a special type of relationship and bond that you form with the guys in your locker room. And that's something, me personally, I value a ton. Like, I value relationships a ton. So going out and being with them in a game like this is going to be super fun.
Away from the field for a second, what have you majored in here? What were you interested in doing with that? Just kind of give me from the academic side of your Miami journey.
Yeah, I'm a business analytics major. When I came in here at first, I was always in farmer, but I was a business undecided major. And then I wanted to go with business analytics. I thought business analytics would be kind of versatile. I don't necessarily want to be like a sit down at a desk data analyst. You know, that's not kind of what I was going for. But I think it's a versatile sort of degree to have. I'm really interested in, like, there's a lot of, I mean, technology is always growing. Like, there's so much innovation. Like, artificial intelligence is huge. Cryptocurrency is huge. Like, topics like that really grab my attention. So I don't really know exactly what I'm going to do after college. Maybe coaching is an avenue as well that I've considered. You know, I have a great passion for the game of football. Like, you know, that might be something I want to stay in. But yeah, I'm kind of an open mind when it comes to what I want to do, just kind of looking at innovative technology type side of things. That stuff really grabs my attention.
So I don't know if you know this. I know your mom a little bit.
Yeah.
How many pictures do you think she's taken of you over your years?
Oh my gosh. It's way too many to count. I mean, probably, I don't even know. It's like second nature now when she...
I'm going to say 1,000. Is it more or less than 1,000?
Oh, it's probably 50 times that. I mean, she probably has that many pictures in her camera roll. It's crazy. Like, anytime she's around, it's just like second nature to, like, pose for the picture or do whatever. But yeah, she's awesome. I love getting free pictures all the time from her. So it's actually kind of cool.
So that's going to segue into, I have a little game, and I did not let Dave know what this was ahead of time. So this is,
oh boy,
it may be a podcast staple. You may be the only person to ever play and it'll go away. But my number was 1,000, and then you had to tell me more or less. That's what we're going to do here to get ready for the Big Ten opener. The problem is you have a football SID over here that he wrote the record book. So yeah. I tried to work hard that you would not be disadvantaged, but I'm going to give you a number, and you're just going to say higher or lower based on your guess as we get ready for Wisconsin, okay?
Okay.
Okay. How many current Big Ten schools has Miami played at least once in football? I'm giving you over or under 12.5.
Current, man. I'll let you go first. I don't know.
I'm going to go under.
Okay.
I guess I'm taking the over.
It is under. The correct answer is 12. So the current Big Ten schools Miami has not played, Rutgers, Nebraska, Oregon, Penn State, UCLA, USC.
Well, we're about to play Rutgers this year, yeah, so then it'll be the over.
The number.
And so. I can't ever tell what schools are in which conference anymore.
Yeah, for real.
How many current Big Ten schools has Miami defeated at least once? I'm over or under 4.5.
You can go first on this one.
I think it's 5.
I was going to go over.
It is 5. Can you name them?
No, I just guess that.
Number. Indiana, Maryland, Michigan State, Northwestern, and Purdue.
Yep.
Okay. How many wins does Miami have all time against schools currently in the Big Ten? 13.5 is the number I'm giving you. More or less.
These are very specific questions.
Yeah. You gotta
I was trying to find something that you wouldn't already know off the top of your head.
Can you just say, like, how many wins does Miami have all time? And I can just tell you.
I could. On episode 2, that's what it's going to be. Right.
The problem is you got to dig back into your legacy teams. You probably know that, but I don't. So,
sorry, what was the question again?
How many wins Miami has all time against schools that are currently in the Big Ten? So total wins against Big Ten teams.
What was the number?
13.5.
Over 13.5 would be pretty impressive. So I'm going to go over.
Let's go over.
14.
There you go.
There you go.
All right.
What is the first year that Miami played a school that is currently in the Big Ten? So I'm giving you 1900. So under would be before 1900. Over would be closer than 1900.
I'm going to go before.
You know, we just did a scoregami this summer, Tim. I should know, like, every game we've ever played.
I thought part of that project was you were actually going to memorize all those scores so you could grill on demand.
We haven't gotten there yet. You took the under? I'm going to go over.
Sigh again. Man. 1897, the first game against Indiana.
I'm just going to give Sigh my keys and resign after this.
Yeah.
It's okay. You can play Rover. How many miles is it to drive from Jaeger Stadium to Camp Randall Stadium? 444. More or less.
So, okay. From here to Indianapolis, I think is like 130 or something like that. Maybe a little less. So I'm going to go under.
So Tim and I are busing. You guys are fine, but we're on a bus. Okay. And I looked it up this morning and it said it was like 6.5 hours on a bus, which I thought it would be farther than that. So I'm going to go under.
432. It is under.
Just under.
Obviously, Miami's color is red and white. So last one, how many schools in the Big Ten have a version of red as one of their main colors? Over or under 6.5? You're just letting him do all the work. This is like looking at your neighbor's paper.
I'm trying to think of schools right now.
Yeah, I need like all the schools like here. That would really help. Can we do that next week?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the record book, and you can just flip through it next week.
Form of red. So the only ones I can think of is Rutgers, Wisconsin, Ohio State, and Maryland. But there's got to be more than that. So I'm going to take the over.
I think Sy's right.
7.
What are they?
Nebraska, USC, and Indiana are the
USC.
Others.
So you forget like the schools like USC that just went into the Big Ten.
That was good, Tim. Good job.
Yeah.
Awesome. I mean, good job on me. I didn't answer any of them. You guys answered them. So. Before we let you go, we'll go back to the serious stuff for a second. You've been here a while. If you look back, freshman you, and you could give first-year Silas Walters some advice, knowing what you know now about college football, about Miami, whatever it is, what would you tell yourself?
Just, I would say, keep a level head. That's what I would say. A lot of days where just things are not going to go your way. And that's not just for a walk-on. That's for anyone playing college football or anyone in life, really, right? I mean, you guys know that. So that's what I would say. I'd say keep a level head and just control what you can control, because at the end of the day, that's all you can do. You know, focus on the things that are going to make you better. If someone says something to you that bothers you or takes you personally, takes it personally, just take the advice from it, take the coaching from it, and do not take it personally, because they're just trying to make you a better player. And that's something I think that a lot of young kids, it's like an adjustment for them. And it was an adjustment for me. It's an adjustment for everyone. So, yeah, if I could go back, I would say, keep your head on straight. Don't get too high or too low. And just work on the things that you can control. And I think it would be good advice.
Well, that's well said. Si, this was awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming. Yeah. I hope you had a little bit of fun.
I had so much fun. Thank you guys for having me on. It was great.
Si, you're the best guest we've ever had on the podcast.
I'm honored. One of one. One of one.
We will have a new episode of Red Hawk Rewind every Tuesday. So check back next week. And Miami opens the season at Wisconsin Thursday night, 9 Eastern on Big Ten Network. Until next time, I'm Tim.
See everybody. I'm Dave.
So I'm Silas. See you later.